also thank Ravi Venkatramani for organizing this.
Okay, welcome to the final session of the DCS annual talks, and it's a great pleasure to introduce Debabroto Maiti, whom we call Debu. Debabroto did his masters, and like, so today when I was asking him, you know, where he has done his stuff, and I was already answering, so I remembered that I possibly know his entire career really by heart, so I don't need to even look at this. He did his masters from IIT Bombay, then went on over to Johns Hopkins University to do a PhD with Ken Carlin, following that moved with Stephen Buchwald in MIT, and joined IIT Bombay as a faculty in 2011, and has been doing what we have learned as students to be the holy grail in, I would say now, all of chemistry, where, you know, you would like to functionalize a CH bond. And he's trying, so CH bond functionalization is so important because everything that we have around us mostly is functionalized carbon. That leads to, you know, the drugs, your polymers, small molecules, and nature also has to do that for our survival. Otherwise, we would not have, you know, molecules that would make proteins, DNA, everything. So essentially, we need to functionalize CH, and that is the most difficult challenge to do that in a lab, and that is what Debabroto has taken up for his independent career, and has used beautiful way of what I say, giving direction to functionalization. He's going to show how you can direct your functionalization when you have, let's say, five CH bonds that look very similar, and how you can use direction-assisted chemistry and attach a functional group at a particular position of a molecule. And I would say that, you know, his chemistry has been amazing, brilliant. So with that, and of course, I forgot the award, but that needless to say, he has won all the young investigator awards that a young scientist can get. And with that, designing templates to read the distal CH bond, Debabroto, invite you to give the asset colloquium.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me at the back? Okay. Great. Thank you, Ankana, for this wonderful introduction. I think I will not be able to discuss my chemistry in a better way, better than you. I would also like to thank JD for introducing basically the CH activation to all of you guys and doing it, leaving it right over here. So I'll try to keep my introduction very short in that sense. Before I start, I must thank you all for making me feel home, making me feel the part of your PAN-TIFR family, community. I really enjoyed 3 days, that nearly 3 days I spent over here, and I would love to come back again and again. I am, of course, surrounded by friends and well wishers, hopefully everywhere, but more so over here. So thanks to all of you, and thanks Ravi for having me. He made it possible to keep me over here because, you know, we are only few miles away. I was rather trying to escape from here, but he made sure that I stay here throughout as soon as I came over here. So thanks, Ravi, for your enthusiasm and for conducting this 3 days symposium or conference in a really well organized manner. Thank you again. First of all, I thank ESET for giving me this opportunity. As I learned, it has been a quite historical in terms of the colloquium. And to be part of that, I feel honored and humbled. Okay. So today, I'll only try to discuss part of our ongoing work, because beyond CH activation, we do some other works also. Although I don't really talk, or I didn't get much opportunity to talk too much other than CH activation, but I'm sure on another occasion I will come back and talk something that is not CH activation at all. Okay. Without further ado, let me get going. After staying 3 days over here, what I realized, all of you are very much familiar with the mother nature and the way the natural processes occurs. Okay. And I also learned that all of you are familiar that important biological transformations are often functionalization. Of course, the prime example could be cytochrome P450, but there are many other examples where you see carbon-hydrogen bond functionalization. So I will not try to discuss much of that, but what I will try to tell you is that there are problems perhaps which nature didn't try to solve, because nature didn't require to. Okay. For example, here is a molecule. Okay, maybe I need the do you have, I think my battery, the other one can I get? This is working, yeah, but yes, slide changer is working, but somehow the, can I get just the battery? I think I should have. Thank you. Yeah, I think that is. Thank you very much. Okay, so what I was trying to tell you is, hopefully now it works. Yeah. So if you have a molecule like this, which is a natural molecule, now over here, if you look at, you have of course the benzylic CH over here, three of them. Another benzylic position, three of them. There is an ethyl position, sp3. Of course, these are also sp3, as you have learned from JD also, these sp3 are little bit different compared to the other ones. So you have alpha, beta, gamma positions of these substrates or the aliphatic part. Also, you have ortho, meta. If this position is open, that's the para position of the benzene ring. Okay. Now, when you look at the nature, always it comes with the active site for CH activation or functionalization in particular. You have an active site and you have the substrate binding pocket, right? You do not have anything there where you don't have the substrate binding pocket. For example, over here, if you have this heme iron center, this is your substrate, this substrate in particular I'm talking. Now, selectively, this terminal CH bond, that means over the gamma position over there, is exposed, right? And therefore, what's also happening is, although you have these other carbon CH bond present in the molecule, these are not getting exposed towards your active site. Well, nature didn't really need to design anything else, because the product that nature wants, nature can get it done by putting the substrate binding pocket. Now, of course, synthetic chemists are a little bit more needy, at points greedy also. What synthetic chemist really wants to have is selectively reaching out to each of these positions so that they can have the molecule they may need for, let's say, a drug diversification, for synthesis of drugs, other materials chemistry, and various other applications where you basically need the chemical. Okay. This is precisely where I would say, as a synthetic chemist, we face a challenge which is not really faced or accepted by nature. Now, how do we really do these selective functionalization? I'm not talking about the reactivity as such. We are assuming that we will have a way to go about the reactivity. We will have an active species that will be able to do the chemistry. But how about doing the chemistry selectively at a desired position? So what I would today like to mainly discuss is how you can go and selectively pick up one carbon hydrogen bond over all other that are present into your molecule. Okay. So this is the active site, for example, over there. This is another cartoon. You have active site and then this is the substrate orientation. Now, if you allow me, or if Anukul would allow me to borrow one of his lone pair without pen or Aadhaar card attached with it, I would like to introduce this directing group into the substrate. Okay. Now, this directing group is nothing but a ligand or template, you can whatever name you want to call it. This directing group will have a heteroatom.
sulfur, you name it, selenium, phosphorus, wherever you have a heteroatom, you can expect those heteroatoms present as a part of the molecule will be able to locate the metal center. With those lone pair, metal will be bound, and therefore we can expect a enzyme substrate like orientation that you have in nature. For example, over here you have active site and substrate pre-organized. This is taking a cue from here, really, what we are trying to do is the metal is now going to be added with the substrate, and overall the orientation of the substrate and the metal will be just like what you see in the active site where you have a substrate binding pocket. This is precisely required because, of course, perhaps I can think of designing a substrate binding pocket for one substrate, but designing substrate binding pocket for each and every substrate, as you know that substrate binding pockets are good for only one or two substrates, because, you know, otherwise you do not have the reactivity, you have the, you know, enzyme deactivation, you do not get the reactivity. So substrate binding pocket cannot be made universal. You need to design substrate binding pocket for each and every substrate. In order to get done with that, in order to not get into that trap, what we thought that since every molecule, basically every molecule, almost every molecule that we require, except let's say benzene, almost every molecule has some heteroatom. Can we utilize the beneficial presence of those heteroatoms and turn the table on the substrate and put our metal center precisely at a position where now I can talk about selectively functionalizing a desired position? So the objective of the part of this talk, or the part of the whole talk, would be to design the directing group, design this ligand so that selectively we can reach out to the ortho position, selectively we can reach out the meta position in presence of two other or four other CH bonds, and selectively we reach out to the para position without touching these ortho and meta CH bond. Similarly, for aliphatic substrate, we have alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, and so on position. How one can think of designing a directing group that will be attached with the substrate, and metal will be placed in a way so that selectively only one of these CH bond is getting functionalized. Okay, let's look at the something what we are all familiar with as a chemist, that is the ortholithiation, right? In undergraduate study, we know that ortholithiation is possible if you have a suitable substrate, and that is because of the fact that you can have a 5 to 7 member transition state when you have a metal involved. So directing group is nothing but once again the ligand, nitrogen, oxygen, sulfur, phosphorus, you name it. With those lone pair, or with that lone pair of the heteroatom, you can place the metal in a position so that you have these thermodynamically preferred intermediate, or the transition state is readily achievable, and you can get selective methylation at this position, and this is how your ortholithiation is done, right? If that can be done, if you change the lithium into, let's say, palladium or some other transition metal, you can expect that metal will interact with the CH bond selectively at the ortho position, because reaching out to the meta position is usually difficult because it would require a higher ring formation. So we can think of selectively introducing the metal at the ortho position. Now, this is where I think the field has evolved over the last two decades, where we see that a lot of reactions are done at this position. Of course, there are many problems that still remain in introducing a particular functional group, for example. For example, today I will briefly discuss the olefination reaction. Okay? Olefination reaction, this is perhaps you have heard of. If you have a bromobenzene, if you want to take olefin plus bromobenzene, that's the famous Heck reaction, 2010, Nobel Prize is given. But the requirement for that was you need bromobenzene. That means your positional functionalization is determined by the bromine. Right? At that position, you are going to get the functionalization. In this case, you are not taking a bromo intermediate, rather you are trying to activate the CH bond. Okay? Well, before getting into oxidation is followed by functionalization, but not necessarily all the CH bond functionalization is via CH activation. For example, you are familiar with electrophilic aromatic substitution reaction, undergraduate, part of the undergraduate study, right? So, for example, we have read about Friedel-Crafts acylation, a lot of other reactions that you can remember. Now, those are electrophilic aromatic substitution reaction. That does not require the activation of the CH bond. You add an electrophile and then you deprotonate from there, right? That is a functionalization, yes. Activation, no. Right? But let's say if you want to do a functionalization of the arene at the meta position, let's say electrophile at the meta position, you can introduce electrophile at the ortho position and para position easily. But if you want to introduce an electrophile at the meta position, that would require a CH activation process. Right? So, let's quickly look at one of the reactions over here, that is kind of the greener version of the Hake reaction, where you would not use the bromo starting material, rather you would like to activate the CH bond. Of course, it has the benefits. Now, the problem in this field has been that always this olefin needed to be activated. Okay? If you have an electron withdrawing group with the olefin, then you will be able to introduce the olefin at this position, ortho position, selectively. But when you do not have the electron withdrawing group, simply it doesn't work. So, for example, if you have hexene, long chain aliphatic, it's an electron rich or electron neutral molecule, you will not be able to introduce such entity into the arene. That's the same also goes true for your Hake reaction even. It doesn't work really that good or at all with the unactivated olefin, right? So there is a problem. What we thought then, perhaps we can solve this problem by thinking in a way that the olefin is not working due to two reasons. First of all, it may not be interacting with the metal center effectively. If a metal center cannot introduce unactivated olefin but can introduce activated olefin, that perhaps means that unactivated olefin is not interacting with the metal center effectively. Other reason could be the organometallic intermediate may not be nucleophilic enough to insert into the unactivated olefin. In any case, by thinking towards that, what we realize that we need to make a well-defined organometallic intermediate, which I will be discussing in the next slide. By having this bidentate ligand, this is 8-aminoquinoline, this is a known ligand in the domain of, let's say, inorganic chemistry, but when it is coupled or introduced with phenyl acetic acid substrate, now for the first time we are able to show that any olefin, be it electron rich, electron deficient, electron neutral, all of them can be introduced at the ortho position. So what I'm trying to tell you is, there was a problem in this small field, and that problem is we cannot introduce unactivated olefin. By designing a electron, by designing a well-defined and we are now able to show that almost every olefin is a completely unactivated olefin. Think of it, we can introduce them, and having shown, we can now, you know, diversify a number of drug molecules. Make the structure activity relation all the other studies that come with it. So ibuprofen, ketoprofen, naproxen, all of you are familiar with, these can be now diversified quite efficiently by utilizing this method. What we presumed and now we are able to demonstrate simply is it forms a well-defined organic complex to start with. You have phenyl acetic acid as a substrate here. 8-aminoquinoline is covalently linked with it. It binds with the metal center. Okay. There is nothing too exciting about it so far. It's a neutral complex. From here, we can characterize it. From here, this is the step where carbon-hydrogen bond activation or the metallation is occurring. That means that this is the organometallic intermediate that is getting generated. We can actually get a number of crystal structure of it. the derivatives of it. We actually have 10 of these structures, which is nothing but possible to introduce the metal at this ortho position. And also this step is reversible in nature, and this step is not involved into the rate determining step. We do detailed kinetic studies. Since all these complexes are isolable and fully characterizable, we were able to study the mechanism of this reaction in detail. Now, up to here, these are neutral intermediate, charge neutral intermediate. I think what was most crucial for our case to generate a cationic intermediate where the protonation, we are not sure where exactly the protonation is happening, just we put at the amide part. But this protonated intermediate was crucial to bind unactivated olefin. As I was telling that previously activated olefin was working, unactivated was not working. And this is where we believe that, and we of course have some experimental evidence as well, we believe that this is the intermediate, the cationic intermediate is crucial for binding this olefin. From here, we can get the Heck type of intermediate, which is organometallic intermediate is a nucleophile, it will attack on the olefin, and finally we will get this Heck type of intermediate that is one can expect. Well, why the question is why it is really palladium, right? Well, we could not make it general so far. So far only palladium, and we are able to also introduce cobalt very recently. But most of the, well, it's not that everything we understand very clearly over here, but we do understand what perhaps is happening with palladium, but why other metals are not working, I don't think we are in a position to answer. No, coordination would be fine because this is a bidentate system, right? Coordination should not be a problem. But some metal, let's say manganese and nickel, these are prone towards your one electron reaction mechanism, and copper particularly. So those reaction with one electron, what will be happening is this step of oxidative addition, you require actually two electron process, right? Oxidative addition usually these cases would require two electron process. So those metal which are requiring the single electron transfer process as the key step towards CH bond activation, I think those are the problematic one. But other than that, there are other metal which perhaps could have been used, but we were not able to see the reactivity so far. But I think we need to explore more. Yeah. What is the size? Well, of course, size is important, but we didn't really try to look at the size variation and the reactivity pattern with respect to that. What we were really focused on doing is to seeing the reactivity. Okay, once we find the reactivity, then we try to understand the reaction mechanism. Of course, we were having some initial hypothesis, but we simply didn't study the size dependency. I'll go with the student first. Yeah. Yes, that study is ongoing. We didn't complete it yet. So the next study is actually about that. What is the affinity between the substrate and the metal centers? So those are the studies we are doing by kinetics. Okay, what is the binding affinity and what is of course association and dissociation? What is the detailed mechanism? Only thing so far we were able to do is the determine the order with respect to each of these substrates, right? And stepwise understanding in terms of NMR, but further details are awaiting. Okay, Absolutely. Sure. Yes. As you know, it requires much more time than I would ideally like to spend on. Yes, I think that's definitely is one of the thought we are having to introduce the chirality and to see that whether if we can make some real drug molecules and real application of these strategies. Yeah, thank you for that. This is Quaternary right now. Okay, yeah. Okay, so moving on, then we were able to find that the last step is the rate determining step. Once again, we were able to do the deuterium leveling studies, and you know, the starting material was deuterium leveled, and we find that the product is also deuterium leveled, and we were able to unequivocally prove that this is the rate determining step of this reaction. Rest of the catalytic cycle usually works out quite well, right? This is, you know, in terms of mechanism, I would say, if you look at the textbook Heck reaction mechanism, and this mechanism will be similar, except the fact that these two are the major or the crucial steps which is required for this reaction to be happening. Okay. Well, so far then I have talked with you or told you that it is possible to get the styrenyl product, which is thermodynamically stable product. What essentially we are starting with the unactivated olefin, right? This is the unactivated olefin. We are able to generate the conjugated olefin or styrenyl derivatives, which is thermodynamically stable. But will it be possible to shift this double bond one more position so that we can get the allylic product? You are familiar perhaps with Schuji-Trost allylation, where you require a leaving group into the molecules such as allyl halide, allyl acetate. Over here, what we are simply talking is the starting material can be simply olefin. Can we shift the double, that's this olefin double, one more position exclusively? Well, I would not be discussing that strategy today, but yes, indeed, it is possible to shift the double bond one more position to get this allylic product exclusively, so that we, in one hand, we have this styrenyl product, and in an orthogonal fashion, we can generate the other product. So, in a way, we can kind of override, or you know, we can kind of give an alternative, perhaps the greener alternative to the Schuji-Trost allylation reaction. Well, as I was trying to tell you, that major focus of our group has been really to reaching out the distal position. Ortho CH activation or beta CH activation for the aliphatic substrate, you can consider as the proximal CH activation. The distal activation would require further designing of your directing group, and you need to perhaps work on it again and again, iteratively. You need to improve your directing template so that you can selectively reach out a distal position in presence of a proximal CH bond or in presence of many other proximal CH bonds. Well, I'll try to again keep it short, as I have shown you briefly that it is possible to have a molecule binding with the metal and activating the CH bond which is at the proximal position, usually by a 5 to 7 member transition state. But if one is interested in reaching out a distal CH bond such as meta CH bond in presence of these two ortho CH bonds and another meta CH bond and another para CH bond, how one can think of designing such template? Okay, I will keep it short. In short, it was possible indeed to reach out to the meta position selectively if you are ready to introduce cyanophenol as a directing group or template or ligand for your metal center. If you are ready to introduce cyanophenol into your organic molecule, I think at this point we can tell you with certain amount of certainty that you will be able to reach out meta position selectively. Yes. Well, yeah. So initially we were really not sure. You know, it was mainly about the heterocycle. Had a hand-picked model that will be able to prevent the ortho CH. The major problem was how to prevent the ortho CH bond to get activated. Okay. So for that, I think one of the requirements was the rigidity as well as the the directionality of this directing group, so that this is not really towards the ortho CH. If you were able to do that, overall, as you see in over here, we should be able to put the metal over here. So if metal is placed over here, it's not really reaching out to the orthotopic. So I think the major requirement was the rigidity as well as the right geometry. Well, very truly, we didn't have too much idea about cyanophenol at the beginning. It required enough experimentation. But overall, we were able to identify, I would say, rather quickly that simple cyanophenol is good enough to reach out to this metapod. Okay? Now, of course, it took quite a while, but at this point, we are now able to do a number of functionalizations selectively at the metaposition. Okay? And that is without touching these ortho CH bonds as well as para CH bonds. Of course, I made it sound like it is some sort of a story which is leading somewhere, but of course, there are many, many problems. I will try to touch upon those problems and perhaps the way out that we are trying to work on in our laboratory, how to solve the existing problem of the cyanophenol and what are those problems and identifying those problems and solving those will be the next issue and I'll be discussing in the next few slides. Let me discuss briefly, yeah. One thing was definitely we needed to keep the denticity very simple. The problem with the catalysis often is if you have a very, you know, very saturated metal center, you would be usually losing out the reactivity. So one of the major objectives for us was simply that we will not play too much with bidentate, tridentate or other, you know, other bulky ligand. Essentially we are playing with the ligand. We would let the metal play its game where we are able to, you know, see that where we can make it better. So the monodenticity, I think, is one of the major role or one of the major factor that we were looking at. So that it was kind of preventing, we'll discuss in next few slides that perhaps one and half coordination, more than one coordination where in a way we get a little bit more support from the ligand, the cyanophenol or its ligand. And perhaps then it is getting better. I think in a way what you are thinking is correct, but we don't want to, we didn't want to give away completely to the ligand part. Okay, I'll come back to that. Okay, so what we are now able to then understand from this reaction is, we need in addition to the cyanophenol, we would need these N-acetyl or N-protected amino acid ligand in addition to the cyanophenol, because that plays a crucial role in activating the CH bond, okay? What essentially it means that you have a metal center, you have this directing group, okay? This is the cyanophenol and there is your substrate. Overall, the orientation is such that, okay, that's similarly to, you know, to answer Ankhana's question earlier, that overall the geometry is such that it is actually not allowing the ortho CH bond to get exposed towards the metal predominantly with respect to the beta CH bond. So it's basically the geometry that is restricting metal coming out to the ortho position. And restricting that was really crucial because you are dealing with at least four other CH bond and selectively if you want to pick out one of them, you have to restrict all other positions that are available, right? Also, we were able to show that there is some sort of acoustic interaction, which is the pre-CH activation step where metal and CH bond is interacting, yes. Well, what if we do the calculation, what we find that ortho-CH activation energy is little bit higher, not too much, little bit higher compared to the meta-CH. Why, as I was trying to tell you that perhaps it's the geometry, the constraint that is restricting it to reaching out to the ortho position in preference to the meta position. So meta is made preferred over here compared to ortho. It's not that ortho is not possible at all. It is possible, but meta is more favored. Yes. So that I didn't, overall, if we do the, of course, by experimentally, I don't have much proof, but this is where my colleague, Professor Shunoj, comes into the picture, and he helps us immensely over here. What he was able to show that this keto oxygen is interacting with the CH bond, overall, that is helping in activating the CH bond even more facile manner. The barrier actually goes down significantly if you are involving this keto. And there are some other, yes. Sorry, which one? Okay, pi cloud. Well, pi cloud would, I would say, but I think it is more likely that the sigma bond is exposed towards, or this CH bond is exposed more towards the palladium. Pi interaction, pi cloud will be interacting, but that becomes little bit less important in this case, but later on we'll be discussing another example where pi cloud perhaps becomes much more important. Okay? So what we were able to then show that it is possible to interact selectively, and then the next step, as you can imagine, since it's a kind of 13-member transition state, this is the one which is rate determining state. Unlike the first case where ortho CH activation is occurring, where CH activation is the rate, is not the rate determining state. Over here, you see that this is the rate determining state because you are dealing with really a larger. Well, there is another, since it's an oxidative, there is butyllithium 4 there, but we are not able to kind of identify the intermediate. That's why I didn't put. But if you try to draw the stepwise mechanism, you are right, you should have a palladium 4 as the intermediate. Okay. We didn't simply draw it because to keep it simple, and we didn't have any evidence for a palladium 4 intermediate. Because such high valent intermediate stabilizes is really difficult. I mean, for every metal, take it iron, iron 5, iron 6 are very difficult. Iron 4 is even, you know, of course, it is still difficult, but 5 and 6 are even more difficult. Yes, that is the classical. Usually, never really. Palladium 2, which is involved into the. So, palladium 2-4 rather than 0-2. That is more important in CH activation than the classical organometallic chemistry that you have read about. Okay, subsequently, so up to here, we do have characterization of these intermediates, some sort of characterization, synthetic characterization, but from here on, we required the help from our colleague, Professor Shunoj, who told us that it's a palladium 2-4 catalytic cycle where this phenyl iodoacetate leads the way to give the rest of the catalytic cycle. Oxidative addition. These steps are major, or majorly they are different compared to what we see in the text. In this case, we need to activate the CH bond, really reach out a particular point. I have 10 minutes? Okay. So I will, sorry.
Yeah, about 15.
15 minutes. So let me take you very quickly from here on. We then really wanted to achieve is selectively reach out that distal para CH bond. Can we selectively reach out this CH bond without touching this ortho CH bond? Well, I will keep it simple. Yes, if we have a suitable template, perhaps we can do that. That is definitely going to be a something like 17 to 20 member transition state that would require the rigidity as well as flexibility. You need to out the metal center placement at the para CH bond without touching this ortho and the meta CH bond. Just to keep the long story short, once again, we are now able to show that when you have this biphenyl scaffold as the part of the directing template, we can selectively place the metal to the close vicinity of the para CH bond without touching these two ortho CH bond and the two meta CH bond. It was crucial to have the top phenyl ring of the biphenyl because perhaps here pi stacking between the substrate and the amine necessary. That gives the rigidity to have no other substituent or not to have any substituent at these position actually helps us out to give the flexibility around this carbon-carbon bond so that it can be flexible enough to place the metal center at the close vicinity of the para position. There are, yeah. In thermal, yes, at the very end I'll mention that. Yes, that would be the best thing one could expect. Yes, I tried to mention that, I didn't put up in the slide. Okay, let's get back. Okay, so what we are trying to tell you that it is extremely crucial to have each and every component of this directing template in the place as it is given in this slide. For example, diisopropyl motif is important. If you play with it, selectivity and the yield goes down. If you put dimethyl, if you put ditertiary butyl, ethyl, anything else, it's not really good because overall your substrate and the directing group need to be placed to each other very closely, right? So this is the puckering effect, also known as the Thorpe-Ingold effect. You need to push the two substituents very close. You also want to have your Y and cyano in the position as it is located. If you put it over here or here, any other thing you do, it doesn't work out. So it required quite a lot of effort in terms of finalizing it, but once we finalize it, we are now able to do the selective functionalization at the para position, and these functionalizations are not electronic or steric control. This is controlled by the directing group. Irrespective of what are the substituent you have into the arene ring, you will be able to reach out to the para position. And this is where it is important that the directing template controls the reactivity and gives the enzyme substrate like orientation without looking any other factor. Okay? Almost every substituent at different position we are able to tolerate. We are also able to do the acetoxylation reaction. While doing so, let me take you quickly. So we are able to now introduce toluene for its selective parafunctionalization. We can also have phenol simply by switching the atom connectivity. If you take the, exchange this CH2 versus oxygen, you get the phenol as a substrate. We can again do the phenol parafunctionalization. Perhaps most exciting here is, if you can simply start from phenol, introduce the directing group, do the functionalization, remove it, you get the natural product. Okay. We are able to generate 8 different natural products which are phenol based, starting with this simple strategy. So that means that this is greener, easily available starting material, and we can also do it in gram scale. Right? So just to quickly summarize what I think I am able to tell you that if you are ready to introduce cyanophenol, therefore, it was thought that we should have a stronger coordinate to start with. Well, again, we don't want a very strong coordination. We want something like 1.5 coordination, one strong and another weak. Thinking towards that, we come up with this nitroquinoline type of moiety, but of course, we had to work through this. We know that we don't want to lose the positioning of the metal. We want to keep the positioning of the metal intact. We want to introduce another ancillary ligand, weak ligand, not strong enough. Slowly we move out from cyanophenol to pyridine, formyl, methoxy, and finally 8-nitroquinoline. Much better yield, and the
temperature can be cut down significantly. For example, those reactions which were requiring very high temperature and even reaction was not going, now we can do those reaction even at room temperature. So to be able to do the CH activation as at room temperature, as JD was saying, it's very difficult. We can now do that with the suitable design. Well, what I would really like to tell you that that's not the best scaffold. The best scaffold so far is in our hand is this pyrimidine one, because this is a better sigma donor as well as pi acceptor. This is the properties what you want from your ligand. If you want a ligand for your metal, you want a sigma donating ligand as well as pi accepting ligand, so that your metal is hold on or latched onto your ligand very effectively. By having so, we can now introduce other functionality which were not possible for the cyanophenol. Okay, we are also able to now do the metacyanation reaction, which was again with cyanophenol it was not possible. We can do various functionalization reaction to give these products. I'll take you another 4-5 slide very quickly, but most importantly for us, it was very important that moving away from palladium. This is what one of the questions, we were never able to really introduce other metal other than palladium, right? Well, this is where this work I like personally, although this is the same thing of what we were doing, but for the first time we are now able to have a reaction condition. That's nothing that we have tried to, you know, discover over here, but it's mostly figuring out the reaction condition that allows you other metal, because every metal has its sweet zone. It gives certain type of reactivity very facile for a given reaction, but other reaction might will not work out. So we are able to introduce rhodium, but perhaps the most exciting part of our this directing group assisted functionalization is the ability to introduce every substrate. I think that's the real challenge. If you want your method to be applicable in a wider scale, in an industrial scale, in both in academia and industry, you should be able to demonstrate the ability to introduce every organic substrate within your molecule or within your strategy, right? So this is where what we thought